Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? It's good to be back here on the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast with episode number 129. This week, we got Nate and Blake in here. It's been a long time since we've recorded anything, really. We took a break there last month to kind of get some stuff straightened out. I had to get some work done at the shop, kind of focus on that a little bit. We do still have some stuff that's been up on the YouTube channel, so if you guys have subscribed over there, you've seen that. If you haven't, go do that. That way you know when stuff comes out. We got the vlogs coming up randomly. There's no real schedule to those, but when we get stuff done and when I get the videos put together, I've been putting those up to kind of keep you guys posted on what's going on this summer. And then that'll be where the Fall Pursuit Season 2 will be located as well, over on our Ridge Hunter Outdoors channel. But Nate and Blake did jump on this episode with me. We talked a lot about what we've been doing lately. So some of the stuff that you've seen on the vlog, some of it you haven't. They've got some new plots, some old plots. They're putting some new stuff in some old plots, things of that nature. I kind of got the same stuff going on, so we just kind of got everybody up to speed on all that. We talked a lot about scrape trees and rubbing posts and mock scrapes and getting trail camera pictures on those and what kind of what we've been seeing with those, our experience with them. We talked some hemp rope stuff. We talked about the rain we've been having this year versus the last couple years and how that's going to affect the crops coming out and how that'll affect the season, not only this year, but maybe what'll come next year. We got into a lot of stuff, so I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I think it's a good one to get rolling here. Again, as we get back to our regular schedule, we'll hopefully have a full draw Friday out this week, and then that'll get us rolling on those as we head into the season. It'll be here before you know it. We're all really excited about Season 2 of Fall Pursuit. Hopefully you guys are too. So stick around for that. But I think it's going to be a good episode, number 129. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. We were kind of about a little bit before we got started. You got some corn plots that we did this year, Nate.
Yep.
They're all coming up good.
As good as could be expected.
Time to maybe do some fertilizing.
Yep.
Had you planted both of those? You kind of broadcast beans last year on both those spots, right?
Yeah. I acquired an unbelievable amount of beans last year. So I started working on these.
Acquired.
Yeah. I started working.
We all know what that means.
Yeah. I started working on these plots. One was 4 acres. I had a half an acre there as a grain plot. It did okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be awesome if I went ahead and finished the other 3.5 acres of this nook out in something, because there's not much over there. Anyway, I thought I'd do something with it. So I got that out of CRP, dissed it with a stump disc like 6 times. You know, it's terrible because this hasn't been worked 15 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
Probably longer than that.
That's the video we put
on
the YouTube channel
last year. And then the other spot, I think it's 2.5 acres, maybe 2¾. Anyway, I was figuring 6 acres of corn there. And then each spot has a half an acre of green mix, you know. That one is Grandpa Ray's Elite, and then the other one's going to be Grains and Greens. So anyway, 6 acres, 2 different spots, got corn in there. Pretty late, but it still is doing okay.
Not that much later than anybody else, really.
Yeah, who's trying to make money on theirs.
Yeah.
Based on this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I sprayed, I don't know. Well, I guess it's been a week ago now. I sprayed Roundup on that corn on the first patch.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was as high as it is. Some of it was eye level when I was driving through it in the Ranger. So that was, you know, much better than I expected.
Right.
And also very unfortunate because I'm like, son of a gun, I'm knocking it all over.
Right.
You know.
Was it pretty weedy?
Yeah.
Or grass?
The thin spots, you know, the spots where the corn was doing really nice, there's very few weeds.
Yeah.
Go figure, right?
Yeah.
They were shaded out. The spots where the corn was pretty thin, the weeds had really taken over. I don't know if I got on the weeds sooner, if the corn would be doing better there, or if it's just simply, I mean, a lot of that got really wet.
Yeah.
You know, and again, go figure this year.
Mm-hmm.
But for as little as I've done with it, I cannot be upset with it at all. There should at least still be some ears out there somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the other patch I got done even later, and it's doing pretty well. It's probably 15 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coming up pretty good. That other patch, the 2 acres, 2.5 acres, I care about it more. I'd really like it to do something.
That so could I be really I'm, good, I think.
Yeah.
If you get a good, decent stand of corn back there
mm-hmm.
that's got some ears on it,
mm-hmm.
and then that green in there beside it,
yeah.
backed up to that little, it's not really a creek, right?
To the east.
Yeah.
A creek to the east, because that's where
but between that and the woods is.
Oh, no, there ain't never any water there.
It's just a low spot.
Yeah. Be a heck of a place for a little pond.
Yeah.
If I would do a pond there, I would want it up in the woods further mm-hmm. to the southwest.
Yeah.
But that low spot is going to be my access, always has been my access to the south plot. Anyway, if I can get some fertilizer on that corn, because it really is coming up just pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Better than expected.
Better than the beans did last year?
For sure. The beans all came up last year. Like, they came up good.
Yeah.
But we're absolutely annihilated.
Yeah.
You know.
Then it was so dry.
Yes. But the beans really did pretty good coming up, you know. But they just, I mean, absolutely annihilated. There was never any leaves out there to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it and you're like, it's bare dirt. You walk around out there and there's stems everywhere. But that's all you ever got.
Just cleaned them out.
Stems,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it never amounted to anything.
Oh, that reminds me. I was going to tell you guys. So, for those of you who don't know, I live in town. On the south side of town, my backyard backs up to a field. But I'm in city limits, like just the very south end of town. And we've got a garden in the backyard. And Reagan wanted to plant carrots this year, so we planted carrots. And they're getting close enough to big enough where I wanted to harvest them anyway. But I walked out there one day, and like the leafy part of them, the stem and all that, or the leaves were ate off, and it was just stems sticking straight up like green straws on top of the carrots. I thought, well, I guess I'll pick them now. I'm like, I don't know what the heck ate them. And Reagan was like, well, it was probably a rabbit. I'm like, well, you're probably right. It makes sense. I don't know why I didn't think of that. 3-year-old smarter than I am sometimes. But so we picked carrots, whatever. And then that had been 2 weeks ago probably. But after all that rain we had while we were on vacation and stuff, came back. I went out to check the watermelons yesterday, and there's freaking deer tracks in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
The deer got in there and ate at the top of the carrots off.
Yep.
Right there in town.
They're teasing you.
I know. There's like 3 or 4 tracks in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those guys don't care about anything at night.
No. The garden's literally 10 yards from Reagan's bedroom window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stupid. There's a little family, like a doe and a couple fawns or maybe 2 does that live back there. I've sent some Snapchat videos to you guys, I think, in the fall.
Yep.
With a target set up. Maybe trying to get them to come to the target. But but yeah, I thought that was, I hunt these things all year and can't get them to come into a food plot, the ones you want to shoot, and then they're in my garden eating my freaking carrots.
That's right.
Sounds like you need to be planting carrots.
I know. Maybe that's a new food plot blend we should try. It's like an orange radish.
There's a guy, I won't mention any names, there's a guy up there at home who does specialty crops, specialty produce and stuff, in states all over, specifically the South, but still does some around here too. He says that if you plant peanuts around here, they will just go absolutely crazy about them. I don't think I'm going to take the time to plant peanuts.
Deer like peanuts?
He says that they like whatever the tops of them. I don't know a thing about a peanut. I like peanuts a lot. But I know that they are grown underground. You know, I know that's where the nut is itself.
Enunciate that T. You like peanuts a lot.
I like peanuts a lot. But apparently he says that they'll eat the tops of these things, and they're just nuts about them.
Jimmy Carter style. Wasn't he the peanut? No. George Washington Carter. Which one was the peanut?
George Washington Carver.
Carver. Was he the peanut farmer, or was Jimmy Carter the peanut farmer?
Jimmy Carter was a Democrat president.
I know he wasn't worth a crap being president, but I thought he was a peanut farmer, too. I could be. Maybe it was George Washington Carver.
Carver was something.
I don't know. This isn't a history podcast.
Yeah.
Back to the deer.
For good reason.
So anyway, this guy, he said, you plant peanuts up here and they just go wild over.
What's a peanut plant look like?
I couldn't tell you.
Peanut plant?
Yeah, good call.
I mean, couldn't tell you. But he said that they eat the tops of them, you know, and that's something that they, you know, never get around here, but they would grow around here. I guess they love them down there in the South.
I feel like that'd be like in areas where guys have trouble with brassica sometimes or even Milo, though. It might take them a while to figure out what it actually is.
So, yeah, I like that obscure stuff that some guys have luck with, you know. For a while, I was like, yeah, it'd be awesome to have something, you know, that that ain't nobody else has. But everything grows good right here. So, like, what does it matter?
Right.
You know, like, everything. As long as we get rain, everything that we throw out there grows just pretty good. You know, crops, any of these blends, you know. I have never felt like I struggled to grow a food plot if we get water.
Yeah. Which, like we were talking there earlier, this year you said something about getting plenty of rain. This year has been so much different than the last 2 years.
Unbelievable.
It's like they just shut off after like May, the last 2 years. Yeah. And then I think 2 years ago it might have rained a little bit in October. And last year it didn't even really rain till November. And even then wasn't much. We got a couple days of showers. But
we are to be frog and rice farmers this year.
Yeah. You had to have probably some of the decent, best looking food plots, like that Inner Sanctum plot down there in that bottom field.
Yes.
Like that had to be about as good as anybody's just because you had moisture at the right time.
I agree.
And there were so many food plots that burned up last year.
And it's low down there. I mean, that's just if there's going to be a spot in this area that's going to have water, you know, holding water, moisture in the ground.
Yeah.
It's that.
But this year, it may be a struggle even getting some stuff in. But, well, like our stuff we planted in the spring, getting it in late. But I'd rather have that problem than not have any rain because I'm not scared to plant up to October with some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially if you're talking like worst case scenario, if you plant winter wheat there in the first 2 weeks of October, you can still get a pretty good stand. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
I'd a lot rather have this problem.
We can deal with too much water way better than we can deal with no water.
Yeah. Because there's not a real good way to get it there if you don't have it.
If it's heavy enough rain and you got enough thatch there, you can just broadcast and not have to work nothing. And it'll come right up.
Yep.
There's a guy at church. He's been, I think he's kind of taking more of a minimalist approach as he goes along. And he's deciding to just pretty much, he knows what he can get away with, just throwing on the ground and it'll grow for him. And that's what he started doing. He's just, you know. He's got minimal time, and he's doing a minimalistic approach, and it's still working for him. He's just throwing stuff out there before he knows he's going to get a good rain.
Yeah, that's something I think gets missed a lot because you see all the mainstream stuff is like being done with drills and tractors and equipment. And
it does not have to be as elaborate as we make it.
You can, I mean, does it make it easier? Can you have a better stand? Can you do more of an area? Sure. And does that give you a better chance? Maybe. But you can still kill really nice deer over like what you're talking about doing. You could get a backpack sprayer, even a gallon sprayer if you want to fill it up enough. A gallon sprayer and some little broadcaster or even throw it out by hand. Mm-hmm. First food plots I was doing was a gallon sprayer and throwing it out by hand.
Just like the Indians.
Just like the Indians. I didn't put fish in the ground with it. But I know that's legitimate history. I remember that. Pictures in your history book with the Indians putting the fish in the ground with their corn or whatever.
Yes.
Fertilizing, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can... That's something for the guys that, like, say, oh, I could never do that because I don't have the equipment or I don't have the time or I don't have the money. Like, as long as you know what blends you can use, and there's, go your favorite food plot company, seed company, whatever it is, they have a blend that you can throw out and it'll grow, at least most of the stuff in it.
Most of them call it throw and grow.
Or something to that effect, yeah. Yes. And you can, if you put it in the right place and you hunt it smart, as long as you get rain on it.
You got to have the want, the drive to go do that.
Mm-hmm. That's something else, too, like just being, because generally in life, and especially food plots and deer hunting, the less money you have, the more labor you got to do. The more manual labor you got to do.
Yeah.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
So if you're not willing to put in the effort, then you're not going to have anything anyway. When you combine the two, that's when you really get something.
Yeah.
But the less money you got, the more work it's going to be. Or, for example, if you have a gas-powered post-hole digger and it doesn't start, I heard that could be tough. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153.
Yeah.
Would you care to elaborate?
Make sure if you got a postal digger, it starts and runs, or you'll be doing it like the 50s like I did today. It's not fun anymore. Yeah.
But why were you doing it?
I was trying to put it in a, I guess you'd call it a rub post scrape tree. And
looked like you were fairly successful. Looked like...
Yeah, I was successful, but it whooped me just as much as I whooped it.
You built a Christmas tree in the edge of your food plot.
Yeah, in the inside corner, I guess you'd call it.
Is that one of your new plots, or is that one you've had before?
This is the second year for this food plot.
What's it called?
I haven't named it.
It's not what you said yesterday.
I said I'm not going to name it that.
I'm out of the loop.
I would love for him to, I mean, if we're into catchphrases, this would be a heck of a catchphrase.
What was it? I can't remember now.
You called it the graveyard.
We ain't gonna do that.
That's where you killed High Rise.
No. The reason I can call it the graveyard is because...
There's cow bones everywhere.
Yeah, the spot is where Grandpa used to dump the dead cows. So there's just cow...
That seems like a great name.
Yeah.
That's what I told him.
Well, from now on, it's the graveyard.
No, I'm not gonna call it that.
But this is that's the plot where you killed the high-rise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And high-rise came out right in the location of where this post is at, correct?
Yeah. Like, he came right through there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if that was there last year, he would have stopped and hit it.
Yeah.
I hope.
Right.
He was moving quick.
In theory, I could have. In theory, there's a lot of theories to this.
Right.
Because I've never tried this, so it's an experiment for me.
Yeah.
But I took a dead ash tree post. I think it's about 8 foot tall, and I dug a hole with a post hole digger.
Much slower than he wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Much hotter than I was wanting it to be, too.
Yeah.
I got it about 2.5 foot deep, stuck the post in, got it secured in, stomped back in the dirt. And then at the top, I have just 1-inch holes, hole sawed through it, the middle of this post about, 120 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even all the way across, and I put evergreen branches in there, and I put 6 in there, so it's all the way around this tree.
Mm-hmm.
They have opportunity to make a scrape underneath it. I'm fairly happy with it. I didn't get the branches as straight as I want. I got some loopy branches, so they're not going to be able to, I don't feel like they're going to use the scrape part of the post like I wanted to, or the rub post,
mm-hmm.
rub part, so... We'll see. It's an experiment. I'm curious to see how it works.
Yeah.
It's an attraction.
Inside of an attraction.
In the food plot.
There's a reason for him to stop.
Yeah.
Just like your mock scrape inside the woods.
Yeah. Because I've tried the rope scrapes.
Or to pull them into bow range if they're on the other side. Yeah.
Because it's 20 yards from my stand.
Yeah. Well, so. Yeah. That's where you want to put them.
And he put it perfect. I mean, that's an afternoon spot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be directly between the deer in the sun.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to be in the middle. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're going to have a hard time seeing him.
Yeah, that spot is hard to pick me out of anyway, mm-hmm. so yeah. Especially with the sun now.
So I really like the scrape trees. And the rubbing post, we haven't done very many of them. Jeff done a couple of them last year. And I've put scrape trees out that they've ended up rubbing because they're mm-hmm. just going to at some point. And I don't feel like they're as much of an attraction. Like, a deer's not going to see a tree, and I don't think, hey, I'm going to go rub on that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's out in the middle of a food plot, though, anything that's standing up out there, like a solo tree, like if even those trees that you took out with that grapple bucket on that skid loader, I'm sure if there were scrapes under that tree, or like if that grass was shorter mm-hmm. and deer are coming out, or if there was a food plot around it, like they're going to go to that tree and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it's just something that catches their attention, and they're going to go check it out. So that's why I really like the scrape tree thing, as long as it's, like, especially in a food plot.
Because
mm-hmm. we talk about, like, not putting attractions with attractions a lot of times. But it's more of, like, a sweetener, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's not like you're putting water next to food, next to whatever else. Like, some kind of, I don't know, soft mast or something like that, right? You're just giving them another reason to come out to it. And if they see that out in the food plot, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Mock scrapes work in the woods, too, because if you put them along a trail, they're just going to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
What we found with the rubbing post is Jeff tried to put one on the north end of his woods, but it was not very far from the edge of the timber, and it's like they never even found it. Even though he rubbed it and he put the scent on it, they didn't really use it that much. It didn't stand out. It just looked like another tree to them.
Yeah, so this, the where I have this located is like right in the inside corner.
Mm-hmm.
So where they're going to be coming through naturally.
And it stands alone out there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing.
This food plot, the way it is, there's like no overhanging branches for a scrape on this food plot.
Mm-hmm.
And they love making scrapes on food plots. So mm-hmm. this is going to be their scrapes on this, I feel like.
That's the scrapes are also tend to be more consistent, I mm-hmm. think.
And I've tried the ropes, mm-hmm. I have had bad luck with them. Like mm-hmm. last year I set one out and it was good and seasoned. I threw it on an oak tree for like a year and a half before I set it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it would, and it's a hemp rope like you're supposed to use. And the very first pictures I got was a 2-year-old walking up to this thing, and the next pictures was him running for the hills as fast as he could. And
yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm done with them, because I didn't have great success like I thought I would, and
mm-hmm.
that was the deciding factor. I'm done with them, so
yeah.
This is my next avenue of trying something with that.
And I have seen, like, our scent, like, where it comes from different deer, so, like, spoiler alert, if you buy some of our scent, it might be from a 3-year-old, it might be from a 5-year-old. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen some of it where I've intentionally got my own stuff, or, like, made a bottle, and because I know what deer it came from. Like, I'll use like a 4 or 5 year old deer. When they're dead, they're a little harder to tell, but obviously a mature buck, real dark stained tarsals, and take it out there and spray it. And those young bucks get nervous, man. When they smell that, like, they come in and it's like, I don't think I should be here.
He's new and he smells mean.
Yeah. But I talked to a guy this week. He called me and was asking about what we did as far as just what we're talking about, scrape trees and rubbing posts and all that and hemp ropes and that. And I told him I had never ran ropes, but I knew that you had. I didn't know if you did or not. I told him at least one of the guys I hunt with, maybe a couple of them, had used them with, like, maybe decent luck, but I didn't really know. Because I knew you had some pictures there from where that plot is now.
I'd never had any bad luck with them. I would never have said that it was any more beneficial than just breaking a limb down where they could get to it.
That's kind of what I told him.
Like the West plot, I had one there, and before I put it there, every buck that ever went through there thrashed on that limb, and I put it there, and they still thrashed on it. Now they've got it broken. It's hanging way back, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they'd use that limb anymore because it's so far back, twisted over the creek now. I'd never had any get spooked of it, but, like, I'd put some, it's like on the north plot, I put one on that shingle oak tree hanging out over there before. They never did nothing with it, you know. They walked past it all the time, and they make scrapes on the other side of the path, but they never did that one.
See, I got one,
that one
in the plot behind Mom and Dad's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had decent success. It's getting better. Like, the longer that I've noticed it's out there, the better it gets.
Yeah.
Then, like, last year, fawns were even using it. So, which is an improvement, but I'm going to put a scrape tree in that food plot also.
Yeah. So. I don't think hanging a rope in a tree is going to be something magical to where that's gonna be what it does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna kill you the deer.
Right.
I don't think it's gonna be like that. There's lots of things you can do to just give him a limb, you know, where mm-hmm. you want him to be.
That's
exactly what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you gotta position it what's best for them, but also beneficial for you.
Yep.
And it's a great way to get inventory mm-hmm. of what's hitting your.
That's the best thing about
your food plots, because most bucks, they go out in the middle and away from the tree edge.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not going to know what's actually out there unless they're hitting the scrape.
Especially at night.
Yeah. So this, I got a camera on it, and I'm going to, once it gets seized, I'm switching to video mode because that would be awesome videos.
Oh, yeah.
But I got a camera on it, so I'll be able to gather some inventory on that spot.
Yeah.
That's hitting the scrapes.
That's one of the best things about mock scrapes is just getting inventory, because everything comes through there is going to, like it.
Hopefully.
They're probably not. They will not always paw the ground and clean out the scrape, but
they'll check and see a high
percentage of the time they're going to check that licking branch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're at least going to come look at it, sniff it. They might work it. They might not, but they're going to come check it out. But the rope thing's a weird one to me because it's like it's almost kind of gimmicky.
Yeah.
But obviously it just takes the place of a limb, so like maybe it's just easier to use because you can find hemp rope and maybe it's supposed to last longer or whatever. But why do you think that was... That's so over-advertised, because, like, you hear guys that, like, swear by it. Like, man, you got to use a hemp rope, and it's the greatest thing in the world. Like,
well, they probably had a couple miles of hemp rope they wanted to sell.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Who's in the hemp rope industry that is also pushing this in the outdoor industry?
I think they think it is, like, look at it as a grapevine that you find out there, and some deer love putting scrapes on their grapevines.
Yeah, but I just don't see the benefit of pushing hemp rope so hard over anything else.
All them guys got to do is get hundreds of foot of that, and if you got a sharp knife, mm-hmm. you just cut it into. I mean, there's nothing to it, you know?
But some like nobody's selling. Like, is anybody selling? Like, I'll use ours because I don't want to throw anybody else. Like Ridge Hunter Outdoors hemp rope.
I think
no. There is some companies that sell
four deer.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that makes more sense. So that's probably where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a picture of a 180. With his head in that thing.
Yep.
And they're like, $10 for a piece of this, you know, for 2 foot of it.
They'll magically appear.
Like the one, that one stuff, it's even got the, it's got a little reflective tape on it. Like, so you can see it, so you can walk right to your tree,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, it, yeah.
Yeah, you could hang this, you could put a fence post, out in the middle of a 300 acre, just clean field, worked up, been tilled like January, February, and throw that hemp rope on it, and bam, 180.
Absolutely.
On camera.
Probably two of them fighting over it.
Probably.
Yeah. No, it that was
something. That makes more sense. I didn't know that these companies actually sold four.
No, that was something very easy. They could say, I mean.
So should we get into this? Or?
I would recommend not.
Okay.
We can, if you want to set up, dead ash tree.
There we go.
Stumps.
You know where I can get some?
With some holes bored in them.
That's exactly where it came from, too.
I think we should be able to supply at least a couple hundred.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of, like, when you're doing the rub and post and stuff, especially on those, because the scrape tree, I'm not sure it matters as much, but, like, the rub and post thing, the guy I was talking to, he was talking about, like, a willow branch or something, and Jeff, what he had seen, they were talking about using a pine branch, which to me the pine branch kind of makes sense because it's got a bunch of sap, so maybe it holds a scent, and it's also got its own aroma, so maybe that's going to bring them to it. But I don't know, maybe there's
something. And they like if you would have put an oak tree limb on there or something, by the end of season they probably would have had all them leaves wallered off of it, and they still use it for just the stick. I think all the greenery on that, it's going to stay there.
I thought about just
throwing
a oak tree or oak branch like in like a certain section, two of them maybe, to see
like which one they'd hit more.
See which ones they hit more. I picked the evergreen tree because over there on Green Road there's a big evergreen on the south end. There used to be like four or five scrapes around that thing every year. So I figured that I'd try that.
It's like,
and they can, and because they keep the leaves on,
that's
so
the
much
thing
longer
to me, because those, like an oak branch or anything else, is going to dry out, and those leaves are going to fall off whether they use them or not. Well, you can still use it, and like they'll still use those sticks and stuff. It's not going to stand out as much as those evergreens are.
Yeah, that'll give them something to waller their head in.
Our partners at Flambeau Outdoor.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their storm front mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. I always try to put, and whether it's a food plot or in the woods, I'll try to put at least a mock scrape somewhere within bow range. Like, because most of the time you've set up your stand in the woods, what are you setting up close to anyway? Travel corridor or some kind of trail. So throw a mock scrape up on it. Give them a reason to maybe, if there's
stop
another trail 40 yards away, maybe they use this one because they found that scrape on it. And if you can get them to stop for a second without having
stop
to let them know you're there,
yeah,
that's even better. So, and then same thing with the food plots. Like, I hadn't had one on the cabin plot the last couple of years. I'll probably try to put one out there this year again. But the other plot, that corner tree that we put the camera on that I forgot to put the card in or turn on or whatever I did this year. We had, or was I with you when you did that?
No, we put it up.
Okay. Yeah, right. We went back to the, that was the morning the doe was standing out there looking at us when we got out of the blind, wasn't it? Maybe. Anyway. Yeah, we had video of me putting the camera up and everything, and it was on one of the episodes, and then came back later and found out that it wasn't turned on. I found out it wasn't turned on when I was with you.
I remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but that little oak tree on that corner there, like I don't have to put a tree out there because it stands out by itself anyway, and it's right on that corner where they're using, so I just put a mock scrape underneath of it, and they use it. I got pictures of the shed buck on it last year, like 10 minutes after daylight, but I always try to put something because it's just a reason for them to come in bow range on their own, naturally. Like,
Yeah.
It's basically a natural decoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am definitely going to do that. Probably have 4 plots there on Grandma at home. For sure the south plot, because most of the time, at least the mature bucks, like we've already said, they're going to stay out there, you know, away from the edge of the woods. Unless they're coming in that path right there, you know, in the woods that I want them to. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, those things would come out of the weed patch. They'd come up there and they'd hit the south edge of the plot. They'd look, they'd smell around the east edge where everything pours in the plot halfway down the east side. They'd smell right there. They'd smell along the south edge. And they'd work their way west. They knew pretty much where everything was coming out of the weeds mm-hmm. into the plot. They could see the plot. And then they could, a lot of times, wind as they went along that south edge of the woods, you know. They worked the whole plot to their satisfaction. They didn't need to come over there to me, mm-hmm. you know, and they was going to go on over that west draw. Mm-hmm. If I have that right there in that opening, you know,
they'll
25 yards, hopefully that'd get them to come over there and at least give me a check to see what else has been going on there, mm-hmm. you know. But most of the time, any of the 3-year-olds and older that have come in there, they just ain't got no reason to come to the edge of that woods. They're staying out in the weeds anyway, mm-hmm. you know, and they just hit that edge like that, and they work off to the west.
Yep.
The west plot, I'd put it out there just right in the middle of the plot on that one. It's so small, you know.
Yeah.
I just put it right in the middle of the plot. The new plot with the new blind up there, I'm going to put it, I don't know, somewhere toward where we ran out of spray yesterday, somewhere at the southwest part of the plot, you know, down there where I think they're going to be messing around the most. And then the sprout patch, probably pretty much in the middle of the plot, south of the blind there somewhere, toward that east edge. I mean, all these, just I'm going to put them right where I want my shot to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm hoping that it'll work.
One thing I always try to worry about or be conscious of when I'm putting them out is to not mess up any of my shooting lanes at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to put it in a spot where I feel like, okay, now if it's at the right angle or right distance, he could come in, check the backside of this grape tree, and get out without me getting a shot at him.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Whereas normally maybe if he did that same thing, I could have shot him right where that grape tree was at. So yeah. That's something to keep in mind too. Like,
mm-hmm.
which anything, if you're trying to improve, make it easier to hunt, make it easier for yourself. So don't and don't hurt yourself when you're putting it out there.
Yeah.
That's on the cabin plot. There's shooting lanes on both sides,
mm-hmm.
and then there's those branches right in the middle. So I always try to put it right on the edge on the, let me think, the west edge of that shooting lane, or of the middle where you can't shoot. I always mm-hmm. try to put it on the west edge of that, like my line of sight. So if they come in from this way and hit it and leave, I couldn't have shot them anyway. If they come in and hit it on any other side, you know, mm-hmm. I still got a shot at them, either on the way in, on the way out, or at the tree. So I'm not hurting myself. I can't shoot there anyway. At least if they come in and do that, I'm not like, man, had I not put that tree right in my way, I would have been able to shoot him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I didn't know we would go down the scrape tree route, but that's fine. Because
mm-hmm.
it was relevant, because I talked to that guy this week, too, which was interesting. But
I had big ideas. I was going to make horizontal rubs.
Mm-hmm.
In all these spots, and talking about the placement like that, if I was going to do that, horizontal rubs, I'd heard of guys in the woods just finding them and I mean, this would have to be perfect. I have like 3 cedar trees on the place, you know, that I know of. 2 of them are there in the brush on the west side of the sprout patch draw. And then there's another one down there in the very southwest corner, just in their woods by itself, you know, and they about rubbed it to where it's dead. I mean, very few on the place. But guys had talked about getting hold of them things, getting them pulled over and tied off, you know, to mm-hmm. another tree. And then just giving that horizontal trunk, you know, to rub on. I was just going to try to find some, you know, somebody to let me cut some little ones down, like Christmas tree size, you know, and bury 2 ash poles, wire them to it there, you know, and let them rub on it out there in the food plot. That's going to turn into, I could see that was going to turn into way more work than I was willing to put into it.
Right.
So, but anyway, my plan was very specific for that. I was going to have the posts, you know, the 2 upright posts in a line. That way, when he came in to rub it, he was going to be perfectly broadside for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, raking his horns and that thing.
Right.
I felt like placement was going to be perfect, would need to be perfect for that. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, I was going to try to get an oak branch or something sticking off the end to give him something else. Yeah. But I'm going to do what you did.
Speaking of working in food plots, one thing I did want to get into, since we haven't recorded in a month, was what all we got going on. So, Mike, obviously you got the corn stuff we talked about. You guys did some spraying, though, here, yesterday?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We got all of our plots sprayed, mm-hmm. except for
two. Yep, and those will be done in...
These are all fall plots?
Yeah.
You guys are spraying to get ready to plant?
Yeah. Well, the one I really want to do, because it's a whole brand new plot, I really wanted to get it.
It will be phenomenal.
Yeah, because...
the one you cleared the stuff out of?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be almost an acre and a half. Mm-hmm. It's the one food plot up there that I have the radix blind on. It's getting in and out was absolutely terrible.
That where you shot the doe last year?
Yes. So I moved that. I got different access. I got permission to cross our neighbors mm-hmm. for way better access. And I moved the plot too, so it's even better.
This is what that spot should have been all along.
Yes.
But the change is new access.
Yeah, I finally got permission to get access, so walking across. So it changes everything. It's going to be way better, because before I was blowing everything out of the fields, mm-hmm. in and out. So it was just not good at all around.
Not worth even trying it.
Yeah, so that's why I never really hunted there much, unless it was, like, perfect and I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be way better. I still got a lot of work to do because we just now got sprayed. And I think in the next 10 days, I'm going to be disking it and getting all that
mm-hmm.
thatch, because it was CRP for years.
Yeah, so it's thicker than crap.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard soil.
Mm-hmm.
So need to break that up, get the matter broke up real good, then hopefully planting at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you have to move your blind at all, or is it still in the same spot?
I'm going to be moving. It's going to be, it's, 200 yards?
Yeah.
Moved the whole plot 200 yards.
Okay. And I remember seeing it I think you showed me on the map.
Yeah.
It's like moved kind of around.
Yeah, it's moved
like
to the
down
south.
The wood line, right?
Yeah, it's down the wood line. It's just way better for the deer also, I feel like. Because they're right behind me on the neighbors that I'm walking across. There's a big pond. So right within 30 yards of mm-hmm. the food plot. So, and there's a fence gap right there. So they're going to be walking through that fence gap once they leave my mm-hmm. food plot and go into the water.
Those little fence gaps are...
Yeah. I got some good pictures there for right now.
Yeah. You try to make those in some places, and I do occasionally, like making the new plot at the cabin. I tried to create some little choke points where they'd come in and out. But like if you got a natural one, like where we sat there at Tubbsy's to hunt turkeys, like if you could find a place mm-hmm. that was like that where you could hunt deer,
mm-hmm.
then that would be like... ideal, because you know they're going to use it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going to come through that spot. Especially, that's not even a spot that's really, it's just kind of a place where they can go between the two fields on the end of a tree line. Mm-hmm. But the deer see that, too. They see that gap, and, man, like, they just go straight to it.
Yeah.
If they're coming across that field to cross in there, if they don't want to go through the woods, that's where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a ton of activity around those spots.
Yeah. I still got a lot of work on that plot, too.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to put a scrape tree on it. I haven't decided where, because I don't really want to put it in the middle and make it like, I want to kind of put it like on the inside where the deer are coming out naturally. Like,
because you're going to have your blind and a hang on.
Yeah, I got to hang on. I'm going to have the blind and that would be the southwest corner. It would be the west corner. Just superb access. Then I got a hang on the wood still. I'm going to have over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to hunt this spot a lot more, too, with multiple wind directions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes a ton of difference.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide where exactly I want to put this grape tree. And I'm going to get the other trees that are there out.
Mm-hmm.
They're just too big for the skid steer.
Yeah.
They were good size.
Yeah. You got some pretty good sized trees knocked over with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you halfway know how to run one of those things, you can get a lot done.
Oh, I was having... so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
As long as it's not too incredibly wet.
Yeah.
Because, man, I spent a lot of time pretty nervous trying to get one of those with tracks unstuck. Like,
once they're stuck, they're stuck.
Oh, man, it was bad. it was like 20 minutes of me just with that bucket trying to push myself out and
yeah.
forwards and backwards. Finally, mm-hmm. obviously got it out. But if it's too wet, like you said, when they're stuck, they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get those things stuck, as flipping heavy as they are and as wet as it has to be to get one of those stuck, it's just there.
Mm-hmm. They sink.
Yeah. It's just there. For anything that I got, I'm not pulling it out. I did bury the tractor earlier this year. Did I tell you that?
Nope.
I thought maybe I sent you a Snapchat. I was doing some mowing on my grandma's ground for them, and I had been over the spot like three times. This is earlier this spring. And the last time, it's like 10 acres, and it's all just a straight strip. It's probably 200 yards wide, maybe,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Anyway, it's a pretty long strip. So I go back to the back end, and there's brush piles because they just cleared it, and I'll mow to one brush pile, then move to the other side of that brush pile and just kind of use that and work my way up in little squares. Well, I got to this brush pile, and I was making my square and finishing up mowing, got down to a little strip, and it's kind of going uphill, and I hit one of the spots where I'd already mowed over, turned to go up the hill and around the brush pile, and it opened up that grass and the mud underneath it, and all the way to the bottom, all the way to the frame.
Man.
It was just there. Yeah, it took a while to get that out, but
that's no good.
No, not fun. That's a realistic possibility with as wet as it's been this year too. That's one mm-hmm. thing I kind of worry about with, like, I'm gonna have to mow there at the cabin. I think on the new plot, which I'm gonna have to rename these because I have another new plot now, but I'll call it the north plot where the rhino's blind is at. I'm probably gonna. Both those clover plots need mowed. There's a bunch of clover in them. But I'm probably going to mow it, and then I'll probably put some intersanctum in it. So it'll just be clover, adding to the clover that's there, and then at least I will have some kale in it too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's triticale in that also, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll have that. I want the leafy stuff in there with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on the original plot, the cabin plot, I will probably spray that disc it up and then plant brassicas in it, which mm-hmm. should be great. Because I'm still going to have to mow it, obviously, first, because it's getting pretty tall. But it should be great, because there'll be a ton of nitrogen there from that clover that's there
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole intention was, and I talked about it on here different times, was if it did dry out, at least I would still have some clover. But now that we're going to have plenty of moisture, like, it could turn off and not rain for a month now. We still got enough ground moisture that if it rains in September, like, we're going to get stuff up, and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, that clay top I was fighting this afternoon.
Unless you're on the top of
it. Was fairly dry.
CRP field that's all clay.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah.
The graveyard.
The graveyard. If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look him up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods. With over 14 different food plot blends to choose from, you won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling their products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots. But the cabin plot should be fine where it sits, like even if it dries out. So I'm going to try to put that one probably in brass because I don't know, a fall draw probably or frosty delight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe greens and greens. I don't know what I'll try. I like all of them. Like I've mm-hmm. used all of them, like all of them. So we'll see what I end up putting there. But that's kind of my plan for that. Get out there and get a mowed, get that one clover plot mowed, probably put some intersanctum on it, and then keep that rhino's blind there. I do have to move the stand. I'm going to move the stand back to the main tree because I cleared out all behind it. So I got a shooting lane, and I've made a trail that runs from where we're going to have the new stand, which is on the northeast corner of the pond, basically, back there where they're running north and south a lot, where where we track that deer to the fence, that trail that runs north and south up and down that east edge. It's off of that a little bit, but it's right there kind of on top where they use that a bunch. So I got a trail coming all the way from that to the middle plot now, and I can shoot it from the original tree. So I cleared a bunch of stuff behind that tree. I'm going to cut another shooting lane to the east, but I've also tried to block it off where they can't go north on the east side of that tree. They're hopefully going to have to come around it.
Yeah.
Instead of doing like what that buck I shot last year was going to do.
Yeah.
But I will have to cut me a little bit of access because that's where I'm going to get into the new stand. So we'll see. I'll try to make it as hidden as possible. But
just put a door in there. They don't know how to use doors.
No, they don't know how to put a handle on it. They'll be fine. A turn handle. I feel like they could work the ones you just push down. But that's my plan for that. Hopefully I'll have some kind of brassicas in there. And I think it'll be good this year. I got a half acre of Milo in there. That is going to be good for them. And they might. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't end up bedding in that middle plot now a little bit. I don't want them to, but it's just on a west wind, it's going to be hard to hunt it. But I can still hunt that rhino's blind.
Put a sign up. So no laying here.
Yeah. No vacancy.
No loitering. No vacancy.
Yes. No bedding. So that's – I got some stands to move on the north farm, but, like, they've got corn this year. I might do some more throwing, like –
poor man
stuff out in that corn in a couple places.
Because that worked last year or 2 years ago?
Last year.
Yeah.
They got the fertilizer, didn't it?
Yeah, that was the problem with it. It came up, so up next to the woods, the farthest north little block of timber there, on the south side of that, it came up really good. When me and Dad were turkey hunting up there this year, like you could see all the blooms from brassicas and stuff, and it came up pretty good, which is a plot that I did just to leave alone. So I think it probably worked out for that. You can't see it from anywhere, and I didn't have a camera on it, so I don't know if they were in it that much. I figure they probably were until
if they could stand the smell.
Yeah, until they put all the turkey crap on it, but because that one down there in front of the rhino was blind, it had come up pretty decent, and had a couple deer in it after they got the beans out, and it wasn't like a day after they got the beans out that they fertilized it, and then nothing.
Yeah.
So, which, like you said, if a turkey took a big old crap on my salad, I wouldn't want to eat it either.
Yeah. You'll have that on those big jobs.
But I'm probably going to do that again. I'll do that again in front of the rhino's blind. And then they're in the spot that I'd had a stand before. I'm going to move the one off the ditch and move it over there, and I'll probably put one right there on the woods that's farther to the south. I will probably put a plot there on the south side of that woods, just a little bitty, maybe a quarter acre, just to give them some reason to come in there, because they feel pretty safe up there too. But So did you spray and kill any of your, like the west plot? You're redoing that one, ain't you?
Yeah, I've struggled with grasses in that plot forever. Just so thick down there. And I don't know. I struggle more there than I do in any of the other plots, you know, trying to keep it clean. No matter what I do, I continually find grass in there. If I would, if I'd do the glove on a hand sprayer thing, you know, and like wipe the weeds with it, you know, get chemical on that glove. If I go in there and I'd wipe the grass with it, you know, as it's growing. I mean, it's only a quarter acre. I could try to kill it out that way, you know. I'm going to put Inner Sanctum down there. The sprout patch has been very good, very clean. And that plot's only, this is either going to be the third or the fourth year I've done that down there. And, I mean, it's, I took it out of CRP. I've never had a problem with grasses taking over down there. West plot, always, and I don't know why. Anyway, I'm going to try Inner Sanctum down there, see what it does.
Yeah.
On that west plot. Again, just redoing it this year to try to combat the grasses, that's growing in it. Cause there was a lot of, I think it's plantain, cause I put a lead in there last year, and it came up okay. I mean, they were using it. I think it's plantain that's growing out there pretty good. Gonna redo the west plot, gonna redo the south plot, of course. That's one I do every year. The north plot, I'm now moving because of the way I'm doing all that corn all the way around it.
Uh-huh.
And then the south, or the sprout patch, redoing that inner sanctum again. Because it's been doing really good for me. Uh-huh. The lone tree out there in the middle of that patch with the 3.5 acres of corn around it, I'm just going to leave it alone. There's quite a bit of clover out there. The ground right there is just pathetic. There's an old salt kill right south of that tree uh-huh. on the neighbor's side. But I think there's still salt water. It has been in the area, you know, from the oil wells back in the mid to late 40s that they put through there. So that ground's pretty poor right there already. I got a decent stand of clover out there. I better just leave it alone.
It looked pretty good. Just had the weeds and stuff in it that you'd expect.
I better just leave it alone at this point. Mow it again.
And you'll have the corn.
Season. Yeah, if that corn makes anything, I mean, if I'd have fertilized that corn, you know, very much, I mean, if it had made 100 bushel to the acre, you know, that'd be close to 400 bushels of corn would be sitting out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes 100 bushel altogether, now I'd be happy.
Yeah.
You know, because they got beans all the way around it
mm-hmm.
on three sides.
And it's going to act as a pretty good screen for that little clover plot, too.
I'm hoping that they'll stay on that stub fence row, because honestly, some of the nicest corn was up there against that stub fence row, which shocked me.
Yeah.
But there was
because there was a lot of grass down there.
Yeah. The low spot, low spot is pretty thin.
Maybe that's why, because that grass was growing there too.
Yeah,
it smells a little better.
Yeah, but yeah, up there toward that stub fence row, I hope they lay up there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they come out there and they eat in that.
Very
green.
Well, might.
Yeah,
like I could see, especially out there by itself, mm-hmm. you could get a buck living
by himself.
He's not going to be bothered,
correct?
Unless does find it first.
Yeah, but. Weed patch on the southwest, you know, the south and southwest. The big draw on the neighbors to the east. We know that they live there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 15 deer staying that thing.
All the time.
You know, when you get to...
deer season.
When you get to the first week of November, I think everybody around has pushed them in there, you know, because they know they don't get
messed
with.
There's no pressure in there.
No. So I think they live in there. You can't get to them. But, yeah, I know that big eight-pointer that the neighbors killed last year, he lived in that draw and in that weed patch, you know, there at the lone tree. So, yeah, this corn, I hope they kind of stay in it some,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm not going to do a thing with it. Just leave it there.
Yeah.
Hopefully a buck could stay up there on that north end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to have any like, you're going to have green between you and all the corn, so you're not going to have any reason to mow down any of the corn or anything.
No.
Just leave it standing.
Yeah. Sprout patch, I want a, I got a guy who's going to do a skid steer path. He's going to cut me a big hook through there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll use that, give him a definitive travel pattern through the ash trees. It's like a pile of toothpicks now, you know,
right.
as they're all falling. Give him a definitive path. Through there, I think I'm going to have you try to make me one the whole quarter mile length of the creek on the west side of the food plot there in the sprout patch, all up and down the creek, specifically hooking it from the weed patch around by my new stand that me and you set. We didn't go there, have we?
Mm-mm.
That would be perfect to give them a perfect spot right there. Try to control their movement right there better to get them exactly where I want them. Because mm-hmm. right now they just do whatever. I think if I give them a path right there, they would use it more to my advantage.
Right.
Then I'm going to have him clear me an access path in the low spot that you were talking earlier on the north plot. I'm just going to have him give me an access path through the brush there.
Something a little quieter, a little less scent.
Yeah, because I cannot, with that being thicker, up there, all that stuff that I cut, back at hinge cutting and clear cutting, you know, on the west side of the North Woods, some of that's getting pretty thick now. I mean, next year is when I really expect it to be nice.
Right.
But there's some growth. You can see a wad of green up there.
Figured
right
as
now.
Wet as it was this year, as wet as it has been, you should have got some pretty good growth.
Yeah, you can see a wad up there already. Next year I expect it to be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot, in the daylight, I cannot get on top of that, of the flat with it. I have to hook all the way around
right.
the extra 150 yards. I have to. Because mm-hmm. They're going to be
150 over. Yards is such a hard walk.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot risk that at all. You know? Now, in the dark, I would cut on that path that I've always used, kept open in there for them. In the dark, I think I'd be better off in the shadows in the woods at that point because I think I could very likely run into them out in the weed patch.
Yeah, you'd have more chance of running into them out there.
Yeah. But in the dark, and that's how I've been doing it. In the mornings, I try to slip in the woods, slip out around there, you know, staying low, vice versa in the evenings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when we sprayed yesterday, we jumped maybe 130 down there.
If you've seen his reaction at the beginning, you thought it was a booner.
Well, 130 in the summertime does look like a pretty good deer.
He spooked me. I mean, he got me really excited because he jumped up very close. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got right up on him before he did anything. He jumped up. All I saw was him from the back, and then he disappeared down there toward the creek. I was like, that was a nice buck. And then he came back up on the other side. And I was telling Blake, I was like, that's not the one I saw. The one I saw still in the creek.
Yeah. They always look better if running away, too. Though.
Yeah. No, he could have. He's probably 130.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it was nice to see. Yeah. You know, he's laying down there by the creek.
Yep.
And then he took off north.
I had that one laying under the tree at the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, what was that, June?
Yeah.
Maybe. He had one brow tine that was already... His right side brow time was already 5-6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if it wasn't that one I sent you a picture of. There's the one with the real big brow tines in there. Turner Creek type brow tines.
Yeah. Hey, this deer did have brow tines yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
So I wonder if it wasn't that deer, but he was laying right underneath of the tree that we sit in, which worried me a little bit, but I don't think they're going to lay there that much this fall. So
put a sign up.
Yeah. No bedding. So we were talking about food plot blends a little bit. Talking about Inner Sanctum a lot. Do we have a consensus favorite? We've been using Grandpa Ray for what? 3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
You've been using it for 2 years? You used it all 3 years? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've been using it for 3 years now. Do we have a consensus favorite on the blends?
Inner Sanctum?
I mean, it's done really well for me.
Or, what's the winter one?
Frosty Delight.
Frosty Delight.
Yeah.
Frosty
and Fall Draw to me are like... Kind of interchangeable.
Similar. They're very similar.
I like them both a lot.
There's, just off the top of my head, if you're listening, John, sorry, I don't mean to butcher this.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, most everything, everything in Fall Draw is what's Frosty Delight for the most part, plus more.
Yeah.
So like I was considering planting Fall Draw and 200.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
50 yards away. Frosty Delight, and I'm like, I probably should do something different because I've never planted Frosty before. But I planted Fall Draw on the south plot every year that we've been doing it, and it's done very well. Mm-hmm. They keep it mowed down. Fall Draw needs good sun. We've lacked in water, you know, but it gets good sun there, and they've kept it mowed down. Frosty Delight is... to me, an abbreviated version of Fall Draw, but if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, it's probably because it's supposed to be like for the more harsh environment, so it's probably the most cold tolerant variety that's in, or the most cold tolerant plants that are in Fall Draw is probably Frosty Delight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't want to plant something too similar too close.
Yeah.
So I went with Grains and Greens. I'm going to go with Grains and Greens on the north side.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, I appreciate you tuning in for another episode. If you don't already, go over to Instagram and Facebook and give us a follow at Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group called Ridge Hunter Nation, where you guys can have some input on the show. You can ask us questions. You can ask upcoming guests questions. You can tell us who you want us to have on and what you want us to talk about. And on top of all that, just use it as a regular hunting group. Share your stories, your success, pictures, your failures, whatever it is. That's all at Ridge Hunter Nation on Facebook. Our website is RidgeHunterOutdoors.com. That's where you're going to find more info on the consulting and management services that we provide. We also have the podcast posted on the website with some other content as well. And we have our merchandise and our food plot seed. And if you find any of that stuff that you want, make sure you use the discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space. And you get 10% off your entire order there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else that lets you do so, make sure you rate and review. That helps us, and give us a follow there too. YouTube, our channel is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. You can subscribe to that, hit the notification bell so you know when everything comes out. The podcast will be posted there, as is our Fall Pursuit show, which we'll have more of coming up next season. You guys can go back and rewatch everything that we did this year. We had 10 episodes on that. We're hopefully going to do some turkey hunting this spring, and of course, we'll have all our off-season content on YouTube as well. So thanks to everybody who already does follow and subscribe. If you don't, make sure you go do that. Now let's get back to the episode.
Your Frosty Delight last year was just nubs. They just annihilated it.
Yeah, 13 does in a quarter-acre food plot. That'll do every it. Night.
Every night, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Inner Sanctum, but Inner Sanctum is perfect for where I've planted it so far. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, that's he tells you exactly what it needs, what it likes, you know. Mm-hmm. That's where I put it. I would expect it to do well. It's done really well.
Yeah. I do think I'll be the third on that Inner Sanctum. And I haven't planted it yet, mm-hmm. but obviously I'm going to throw some of it out this year. But I think just for versatility, if nothing else, because you can plant it almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. going to be the most shade-tolerant blend that you can, mm-hmm. one of the most shade-tolerant blends that you can get a good blend of seeds in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you could do ryegrass almost anywhere, mm-hmm. but it's not clover and kale and triticale. And that's the other thing, is it's a blend of, not only do you get the benefit of the clover, and if you want it to be there in the spring, in the summertime, you can leave it and you're going to have the clover.
Yeah, there's...
You could have it, it can be a perennial or an annual, however you want to do it. Mm-hmm. If you just want to plant it 1 year, that's what I did for a client. I planted Inner Sanctum 1 year, so he would have the big leafy stuff, the kale and the triticale, mm-hmm. but he eventually just wanted clover, which for his setup is going to work the best because it gets water on it, mm-hmm. and you don't know if you're going to be able to plant it every year, so a perennial works out better.
Yeah.
So it ended up just being a clover plot, but you can do that with it, or you can plant it as an annual, and you do have the brassica mixed in with the clover. And mm-hmm. to me, like, especially for around here, mm-hmm. deer really love clover. Mm-hmm. It's a really good source of protein for them.
And it's easy.
And the kale adds that big leafy stuff that they also really like. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they eat the crap out of it. So
they
I think
it, yeah.
just for versatility, ease to plant, and, like, the total, it's kind of a Swiss Army knife kind of food plot blend mm-hmm. where you can do it about anywhere, and it has a little bit of everything you want. It's probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I do really like Frosty Delight and Fall Draw also. I haven't planted mm-hmm. the Fall Draw. I've planted Frosty. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they're very similar.
Yeah.
I do really like those as well. But
yeah.
like just for all around, especially maybe you don't know exactly what you want. Maybe you don't know if you want like a annual specifically brassica blend or if you want a clover plot. Throw that stuff out there and see.
Mm-hmm.
Let the deer tell you.
Yeah.
If they eat the crap out of the kale, then maybe you can do a fall blend every year. Mm-hmm. If they don't really touch it, but they eat the clover, then just leave the clover out there and take care of it, and you got a clover plot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's probably one of my favorites
yeah.
that we've used. Speaking of sponsors, and you said something about a 150-yard walk, Rodney's got e-bikes now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to get my hands on at least one of them.
I went up there and rode them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are they nice?
Yeah.
I mean,
they are.
He's not going to say they're crap. He's our sponsor. But
no. Like, I was never really into getting an e-bike. Then I got on and I'm like, this thing's freaking sweet.
I just think that would be so nice to have. Even for that short walk at the cabin, like I've talked about however many times, just being able to get in there and get out
mm-hmm.
quickly and quietly, not leaving any ground scent.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that thing up on the backside of the cabin and walk from there into the stand. And then when you're done, get down, walk, what is it, 50 yards to the mm-hmm. bike, hop on it, and then you're out.
Yeah.
I think it'd be, and the longer walks, like, you're not sweating going in.
Mm-hmm.
And the bikes that he's got, and you remember, what brand are they? Do you remember off the top of your head?
No.
We have to look. So that's the brand is not a sponsor of ours. Rodney is. But they're affordable, too.
Like, yeah.
They're not $6,000, $7,000 Rambos
this
or
was a nice
Quiet
one,
Cats.
And it was $1,700.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They were MSRP was like $15,000 to $2,000.
Yeah.
So.
And this was nice. I think it was a 700. No, it was a 1,000 watt, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly. You have to ask Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to butcher anything.
Hopefully, when he gets the store finally open, I know things have been moving kind of slow for him because he's been so busy, but we'll go do a podcast up there. And mm-hmm. We'll check everything out, and we'll do some video so we can show everybody. But I'm looking forward to getting on one, mm-hmm. checking it out at least.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I rode an e-bike for the first time. One of the docs there at the hospital. I was walking out one day, and I was like, hey, I told you about this bike. You want to ride it? And I'm thinking, no, but I'll amuse you, and uh-huh. I'll ride it, you know? I jumped on the thing. I was like, you know, feels like a bike.
Yep.
But the seat was nice and comfortable. I took off pedaling, and it just takes off, you know?
Yeah.
And I had it going 13 miles an hour in no time. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then I took the thing around a city block. I took off behind the hospital. I was like, I want to see what it'll do. I had it going 23 miles an hour, and I wasn't even trying hard.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So did you have to pedal that one to get going? This one was you just hit the throttle like a dirt bike, and it goes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, maybe this one would do that, and I don't know. He just told me to pedal, mm-hmm. I pedaled, but there was hardly any resistance. But the harder I pedaled, the faster it'd go.
Yeah.
Not kidding. I just about dished the thing because I couldn't get it slowed down the turn.
Rodney's, I think, would go 37 is what I thought.
That sounds
said.
Right.
Man.
Which is cooking on a bicycle.
I do not need to travel that quickly on a bike.
No, absolutely.
It'll save
not.
Your 150 yard walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine ripping in there at like 30 miles an hour across the field?
There'd be doors blowing everywhere.
We're late, boys. We're late. The sun's coming up. Just ball hauling across on this bike.
That is Nate's time.
Hit a flipper ditch.
Yeah. That is Nate's time frame, running late.
Hey.
Yeah.
I did that to us this year. I got the times wrong, so we went to the cabin.
Oh, yeah, time change.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Do you think this year, with the crops being very late, how do you think that'll play?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit when we went to the big 3D shoot me and Dad did. I think it's going to have an effect on visibility of deer, just being able to see them, and then how mm-hmm. much they're going to use your food plots early in the season. Because, mm-hmm. and two sides of that. I think with the corn still being out, you're not going to be able to see them as much. The beans are going to turn later, so they're going to mm-hmm. still be on the beans later. But then when they do turn, like instead of happening in September, maybe it happens in October. So now, like early season, if you got a good green plot, might be really good. Like if you got beans in your area. But I do think if you got corn, it's going to be there till like freaking mid-November at best.
That spot that you and me hunted and then Nate hunted and killed his mm-hmm. buck on, they planted that corn in June.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough hunting through there.
They're going to. I feel like there's going to be a ton of deer living in the corn patches.
Which is good because hopefully it's there during gun season and a lot of those 3-year-olds.
Right.
And 2-year-olds that are just like on that border of being nice deer.
Yeah.
Make it.
Yeah.
Which would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to be held up in the corn patches for sure. Acorns are going to fall same time, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get in on them like they always do. The beans, they might stay on the beans longer, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be on them until they turn.
Yeah.
Like they normally are. If it's green, they're going to want to eat it.
Yeah.
It's going to have moisture in it.
Yeah. I think cornfields, they're going to be living in them cornfields, staying in there, not coming out unless they mm-hmm. have to.
Especially if there's any kind of draw in there and there's water in it.
Yeah.
Like, why would they leave?
If they got water out there, yeah. Yeah, nothing's going to mess
like
with
one
them.
Like one of them little weedy fingers got water in it, they're not leaving.
I will say, though, like, if you just got permission property, like when I got there at the North Farm, and it's going to be corn, like, late season, you're going to have beans standing longer this year. Mm-hmm. So later in the year, mm-hmm. when they do dry out, Like, you're going to be on them. Maybe you have a late season food source now. Yeah. After they shell the corn, like, it's going to be later than normal. So now maybe you've got shelled corn in December, January. That's going to be a good place
to
be.
It'd be crazy if it turns out to be a really, really wet fall. And there's going to be bean fields that don't even say that. Oh, man, that could be fire.
It's already going to be so ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, but and the secondary effects even of that, like, as wet as it has been, so all the natural browse that's around, also the amount of food that's going to be around later than it normally is, like, I feel like we could see a jump next year in, like, a significant jump in some bucks because they're going to have a lot more nutrition for a lot longer
than what they normally do. If we have as mild of a winter as we did last year.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it got freaking cold there, like, the end of the season, but it lasted, like, a week.
Yeah. Like and the rest ATA of time it was, frame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was...
mild as all get out.
Yeah. So I definitely could see it being a... at least a secondary benefit. If you're on permission property, could be a primary benefit later in the season. Or maybe even earlier. Like, if the beans are still green in... if they're not yellow. So, like, for those of you that... listening, like the stages of it, usually they'll stay on them while the beans are green and they will eat the leaves off the beans. And then when they start to turn yellow, they're going to leave them alone. That's that where if you have your clover plots or whatever, they get really good early season if you have them somewhere where the deer are going to find them after they get off the green of the bean food plots. While they're yellow, they're not going to mess with them while those beans are still wet. But as the beans dry down, that's when you see them going back to them like later in the year. So that could definitely be a primary benefit for some of those people, too, even if there's still beans that are green. Instead of now, like, mid-September, now it's the first week of October, they still have a green food source on their permission property if they're hunting over a bean field. That could be dynamite, too. I mean, and even, that's why you see all the bucks out there in the bean fields in the summertime, because it's a good green food source. And it's a lot of protein. It's nutritious for them, too. But, like, as opposed to a lot of times where you don't see that necessarily in the first weeks of the season, because the beans are yellow a lot of times. They haven't dried down, but they have enough that they're off of them. But
this year, I'd say there honestly could be frost-killing beans.
Yeah.
You know, before they do it themselves.
Yep. That's which, for if those permission property guys or public land guy that maybe has, maybe the state's planted beans or corn on it, like that could be an advantage for them. If you've got food plots out, it might hurt you a little bit, I think. Or if, like, your situation we're talking about in that big draw with the corn being out there, like, it could be pretty tough because they're going to stay in the corn.
And that's better to work that edge a lot more than they normally would.
Yeah, that is a spot where I do think they might use that draw sometimes anyway, like, more than maybe if it was just flat straight across and you had beans or corn backed up to timber and it was all the same terrain, like, no topo. I think they'd definitely stay in the corn more, and they're still going to, but I think you have a better chance than in that situation just because of the lay of the land.
I think they're just going to be that the way that's set up. I think that they're just going to use that draw to get places.
Yeah.
To scent check.
Yeah. And then there's other situations too, like on the east side of Jeff's woods, there's not going to be anything this year. Like, they just prevented it, planted it.
Oh, yikes.
He never even planted the corn in there.
Is there weeds out there right now?
If there is, there's not. I don't know. I haven't been down there in a few weeks. But part of that is he's supposed to keep the weeds out of it.
Yeah.
We'll see if he does or not. But I think that's actually going to benefit Jeff because we have a good stand in his food plot this year of pretty much everything we've done. And their normal travel, there's a little draw that would be in the middle of that cornfield and then his woods. Well, they're not going to want, in daylight at least, they're not going to want to walk out across that open field to get to that draw necessarily, so I think they're going to use his woods a lot more.
Yeah.
And he's went in there and mowed the old logging road to just encourage that even more. I think his woods could be a really good spot this year without that corn being next to it, where if the corn was out there, they could go anywhere throughout there that they wanted to.
Yeah.
Now they're either going to work the edge or they're going to be in the middle of his woods. And I think if it's daylight, they're going to want to be back in the timber where nobody can see them, especially right there on the road and everything. I think they're going to be in his woods a lot more. And at nighttime, it's not going to make that much difference. They'll walk out across the field, whatever, like we were talking about them being in the backyard. But I think that could benefit him. So maybe you have a situation like that where the farmer just didn't even plant because it was too wet. Maybe that's a benefit. But it's definitely worth talking about, I think. That's something that I think we'll see a lot of effects from, even directly or indirectly, with next year. We'll see how that works out. Hopefully we'll have some 120s that blow into like 180s.
Yes.
Yeah. Mix it with some power mineral. I guess that gets everybody up to speed. This is the first episode we recorded since June. Fortunately, like, our download numbers and stuff still been great. So thanks to everybody who's been listening to, like, all the old episodes and catching up. Maybe it gave you some time to catch up on some old episodes, but really do appreciate everybody tuning in, even though we haven't been putting out new episodes. Hopefully you've been keeping up on YouTube. We got some cool stuff coming. Hopefully by the end of next week I'll have some news on some other stuff that's coming up too. And we're going to be at the Deer and Beer Fest at the end of this month. At least me and Blake, and I think Dad, are going to be there. Nate's still, he's not going to be there.
He's farming.
Mm. Yeah, he's not going to be there. You better not be farming in August. What are you going to be doing? Working on stuff?
Working on stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's yellow.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that for another day, but I appreciate everybody tuning in again, and it's good to be back, and good for you guys to be back too, because we hadn't recorded in a month, but it's been a while since you guys have been on anyway, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good to be back. We're going to get rolling, hopefully get some Folder Off Fridays out as we get closer to season, and it'll be here before you know it, so stay tuned for that. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,